together in a healthy fashion in the days to come. We've taken a look how we want to move from members who say, I want, and to members who say, I will. I'll do these things. I'll be this person that God has called us to do and to be as Christians, as part of his church. So the two statements that I want to focus on this morning, we'll put them up on the screen. The first one's this. I will have a place of service in the church and a place to serve to meet the needs of the world around me. And the second statement is related. It says, I will take personally the command from Jesus to be a witness where I am and around the world. Many people are bored in church. They're afflicted with a nagging sense that they ought to be doing something that can be more meaningful, that they can be part of something larger than themselves, and they can't quite get their mind around what it is. And so in the meantime, they sit in church, they try to pay attention, give their tithes, behave as best they can, and wonder that when they get to heaven, are they going to be rebuked for failing to do whatever it is that God wanted them to do as part of his church? Perhaps these people go to churches where they hear that Jesus is building the church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And they don't see themselves or their church prevailing against the gates of hell. Ask yourself that question. Do you see Flint Hill Baptist Church as prevailing against the gates of hell? Many churches just seem to be getting by. Church members can't remember a single adult convert that truly went from darkness to light. It's because of the work that they did in their church. Certainly, they can't remember somebody whose story was personally changed because of them moving from darkness to light. Study after study shows that most Christians have never even shared their faith, most indicating that somewhere between 90% of evangelicals have never shared their faith with anybody outside of their family. But think about that. Only one out of 10 have ever shared their faith with somebody outside of their church, of their family. Most churches have a difficult time maintaining their ground, much less storming anything that belongs to Satan. Prevailing against the gates of hell doesn't mean keeping Satan out of our backyard. It means plundering his kingdom. Would you say that our church is on the offensive against Satan or on the defensive? According to a recent Lifeway research, in the next 7 years, 55,000 churches in the United States will close their doors. Just saw a study published by Lifeway, Southern Baptist publishing arm, that said in the year 2022 that 1,200 churches, Southern Baptist churches, closed their doors in the year 2022. Don't you think that these two problems are related? Believers who do not know how to effectively disciple others and the gradually shrinking church in the United States? Certainly they have to be related, aren't they? Yet very few churches see raising up as disciple-making leaders as their primary objective. We measure success by size. And in doing so, however, we neglect the one thing that can propel the church forward into the next generation and against the gates of hell, and that is making spirit-led disciple-making disciples. I believe we need a fundamental shift in how we think about the mission of the church. And so I want to illustrate using two types of ships, a cruise ship and a battleship. Let's first take a look at the cruise ship. Ever been on a cruise? They have all kinds of fancy lounge chairs around the deck. All you have to do is say the word, and somebody will bring you an icy drink, fruity drink with a straw, and maybe even an umbrella in it. And you can lay there all day long if you want. And you know what else is awesome about cruises? You can go to shows. You can go into a room and it's got rows kind of set up like this, and it's got a stage, you know, kind of like this, and you can be entertained. And you can listen to music you want. And if you don't like the music, or if you don't like the entertainment that's there up on the stage, you can just stay in your lounge chair and drink your fruity drink all day long if you want. And you know what else they have? They got a room where they feed you. We call ours the fellowship hall. They call it the dining room. But they serve you all kinds of food. And they'll feed you whatever food you want. If you don't like what's on the menu, they'll bring you anything you want. And they got programs for your kids. You can ship your kids off to the kids program. You don't even have to see them till dinner time. It's awesome. And, you know, they have excursions you can go on. You can go and see all kinds of exciting things. But if you don't want to go on those excursions, you don't have to go. And you know what's awesome about cruise ships? The staff is all there to serve you. All you got to do is you even have little apps on your phone. You just hit that button. Somebody will show up and say, what would you like? Would you like a hamburger? Would you like a fruity drink? With an umbrella. And it's awesome. Everybody's there to meet your needs. And if you don't like it, you can just go find another cruise ship that offers the things that you do like. Maybe the music that you like, or the excursions that you like, or the kids programming that you like. You know, there's something interesting about cruise ships. Here's the first thing. Go ahead and put it up there. Cruise ship staff serves the passengers. They serve the passengers. Do you believe that the people that serve you at the church are there to serve you and serve your needs and serve your wants and your desires? And is that what they're there for? Second thing about a cruise ship passengers there are there to be entertained. And a third point, go ahead and do that next one. Oh, those are the two I had for the cruise ship. But do you see the correlation? How many view their church? They view their church as a cruise ship. There to meet their needs, their desires, provide them with the type of worship that they want, type of preaching that they want, type of activities that they want, children's programs that they want. The staff is there to serve them and their needs and their wants and their desires. Is that what God has called the church to be? Let's take a look at a battleship. In a battleship, there aren't any fancy chairs. If I'm wrong about any of this, Barry, you let me know. A cruise ship, there is no nice, posh battleship. There is no nice and posh bedrooms for you to stay in. Usually you have bunks and they're not very comfortable, and usually they're hot bedded. Somebody's sleeping in it in the day and somebody's sleeping at it in the night. Interesting thing about cruise ships, it is a group of people, battleships, is that it is a conglomeration of people from around the country, different backgrounds, different economic backgrounds, different races, and they are not there for what they want. Why are they there? They're to serve some greater passion, some greater mission, some greater purpose beyond themselves, greater than themselves. And they all depend on each other. If somebody doesn't do their job on the battleship, the whole ship suffers. Whether it be cleaning, whether it be cooking, whether it be the medical staff, whether it be the radar guy, whether it be the guy in charge of the airplanes taking on and off, whether it be the mechanic, every single person is vital to the role, and their role is important. Not only that, but they have a job to do while they're not in battle. And then they have a job to do while they are in battle. They have a ministry to the church, to the battleship, excuse me. And they have a mission, what they're supposed to do when they're in battle. Could you imagine if somebody came and they're part of that battleship, and they sat in their chair, and they got out their reflector, and they asked for a fruity drink on that battleship? How well would that go over? And what is the leadership on that battleship there to do? Are they there to meet the needs of those that are on that battleship? No. Their job is to equip them, to train them, so they might be most effective at being about the mission that they have been given. Go ahead and go to that next point. Battleship passengers work together towards a common goal. Do you see the difference between that church and this church? What God has called us to do and to be? God calls us to be a battleship. This is reiterated by Paul himself. In Matthew 20, verses 20 through 28, I want to read these passages. Matthew 20, verse 20 through 28. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came up to him with her sons. And kneeling before him, she asked him for something. And he said to her, "What do you want?" She said to him, "Say that these two sons of mine are to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in the kingdom." Jesus answered, "Do you not know what you're asking? Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink?" And they said to him, "We are able." He said to them, "You will drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and my left hand is not mine to grant. For it is those of whom who have been prepared by my Father." And when the ten heard it, they were indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus called them and said, "You know the rulers of the Gentiles lord over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be among you, but whoever would be great amongst you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and give his life as ransom for many." Can I put these words into modern vernacular for church members today? I hope you won't be offended. But here's what Jesus is saying. Hey, church members, I know the world says put yourself first, look after number one, but that's not the way you're supposed to do it. Stop complaining about the music style and what you want. Stop demanding church members, leaders, do the things the way you want them done. Stop trying to get your way in church business meetings. Instead, put others first. Put your desires last. Become a servant instead of a complainer. Your first and most important question is, how can I serve his church and his mission? Jesus then offers himself as an example for serving. Instead of coming to the earth as to be a political king, Jesus came to serve. His service would go all the way to the cross. He became sin. He took on our sin. He served you and me by dying for us. And we as a church must cease being "I want" members and become "I will" members. We must come with a mindset of serving first and foremost. Paul recognized this trait in Jesus in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4, he wrote this. Philippians 2, we'll start with verses 5 through 11. "Have this mind amongst yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." And it is in that context that Paul explains how we are to interact with one another as church members. Move back just a few verses to verses 3 and 4. Verse 3, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or in conceit, but humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but to the interests of others. Imagine if all our church members took up this mandate to serve others in the church. We've communicated that every church member should have a mission and a ministry, just as every cruise ship, battleship member has a task to do in everyday action to maintain that ship. You, as a church member, should have a ministry, a way that you're serving the church that's personal to you and your gifting. Whether it's being a greeter, whether it's being a person on our hospitality team, or teaching a class, or helping lead in worship. If you can't think of anything, I'll give you a job. But there's a spot in your bulletin right now for you to write, what is your ministry to your church? Go ahead and write it out. What is your ministry to Flint Hill Baptist Church? I'll wait. If you can't write something, why not? What can we do to place you in a place where you can be obedient to your role as church member? I can use all of you as greeters, right? I can assign you a Sunday, one Sunday of the month, whether it's before Bible study or it's before worship. Anybody can do that. Can you shake somebody's hand? Welcome them to church? Give a smile? I know all of you can smile. You can do that. There's a way we could put you to serve. Next, we've communicated that every church member should have a mission, just as each person on that battleship has a job in their everyday routine of life. But when they go into battle, every single person has a role to do, don't they? Every single person, when they're in battle, when they're on the offensive, there's something that they're to do to make that ship a battleship. In the same way, every church member should have a mission, a way that you serve the world. Maybe you serve through the clothes closet. Maybe it's through Victory Sports or through Defend the Fatherless. Or maybe God's calling you to go on a mission trip. Or maybe God has called you to go and walk neighborhoods for our daily, for our monthly prayer walks. There should be some way that God has burdened you and gifted you and given you a passion to serve the world. What is that place? There's a place in your bulletin to mark what it is. What is your mission? How are you serving the world? Go ahead and write it in that spot. What would God do if all our members were serving the church and serving the world? What impact would we have on our community? Would it not be a force to be reckoned with? Would we not storm the gates of hell? I believe we would. Would it not be an answer to our revitalization prayers? Would God not be glorified and honored? And so I want you to ask yourself this question. How do you view church? How do you view Flint Hill Baptist Church? Is it a cruise ship for you? Or is it a battleship? God has called us to serve together for a purpose greater than ourselves. The most important purpose there is, literally the lives of the people around us hang in the balance. Now I want to turn to the second aspect of serving God's call to worship us, and that is our mission. Just as each battleship has a mission, some orders from on high that they are to be about, we have been given a mission as well. They've come from on high. They're right here, just as they would be transferred to the general of a ship or captain or admiral or what's the correct designation? Captain or admiral. Has orders for a ship? We have our marching orders here, Flint Hill Baptist Church. Orders for our battleship. What is our mission? Make disciples. Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them all that I've commanded you, and behold, I'm with you to the end of the age. Let me add Acts 1:8 to that. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. God calls us to make disciples, not just converts, not just church members, to make disciples. What does that look like? What does that mean? Well, I want to show you a picture of two different churches. And this is going to be interactive. I'm going to need a lot of you to help me with this, okay? So I'm going to come down here. And I'm going to represent the first church. Let's say I'm the pastor of this first church, First Baptist Church of Walla Walla, Washington, let's say. All right? And over here we have another church, Second Baptist Church of Walla Walla, Washington, and it's pastored by Jerry Mize. Jerry Mize, you come on down. And we both know we are to go in the world to grow his church. And so I and Jerry will go into the world and we will find somebody. And I'll say, Miss Jessica, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Do you want to become a Christian?
Yes, I do.
Well, why don't you come join me at my church? Come on. And Jerry at Second Baptist Church does the same thing. Go ahead. All right. And I love Jessica, and she becomes a church member, and I get her to come to worship, and I get her to come to Bible study, and she even serves in the church. She's a great church member. But it ends there. But Jerry, on the other hand, he disciples Andrew. He mentors Andrew. He teaches Andrew that a disciple just doesn't come to church, but a disciple goes out and gets and makes new disciples. So I'm going to go out. Miss Jessica's going to continue to be a great church member. She's a great church member. But I'm going to go out and do what I've been called to do. But the two of them are going to do it. Go ahead. Devin. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Would you like to become a Christian?
Yes, sir.
Come with me. Come with me. This is Jessica. She's part of our church, too. I want to introduce you to. And he becomes a great church member as well, but not a disciple. But now they've got four people over there. And they disciple each other, and they enter into mentor relationships with one another, and they teach that a disciple makes new disciples. And so I'm going to go out again. Jerry and his whole church is going to go out because they're disciples. Miss Patsy.
Yes, sir.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Would you like to become a Christian?
Yes, I would.
Come join me, this church. Right, so my church is growing, and Jerry's church, Second Baptist Church of Walla Walla, Washington, is growing as well. But there's a difference, isn't there? But, you know, life happens, and some people, they get transferred away. So, Devin, you took a job in Des Moines, Iowa, so you better go on. We love you. We love you. That happens to Jerry's church as well. So, Andrew, he got a job at a bank in Florida. And he's going to be down in Miami, Florida, serving. So he has to go on, so they say goodbye to him. All right? But we're still plugging along. God is still blessing. I'm going to go out, and I'm going to share the gospel, make a convert. But everybody in his church is going to make a disciple. Go ahead. Mr. Jake, God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. You want to become a Christian?
Yes, I do.
Come join me. Come join me.
Right.
Ah, something crazy's going over there at that other church. We're just going to plug on, though. We're going to plug on. We're going to do the best that we can do, because this is what God's called us to do. Except Miss Patsy's a little older in age, and she gets that age, and she passes away. So, sorry about your luck. And Mr. Johnny Morrison, we love him to death, but he gets that age too, and he passes away, so you have to go sit down. All right, but we're going to plug along. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. And this church, they're still discipling one another in mentor relationships, and they're each going to go out and make a new disciple. Go ahead and do that now. I'm going to do my part too. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you like to become a Christian?
Absolutely.
Come join me. Come join me. Come join me.
Hey, I'm back.
Come on. He's been resurrected. That's very good. Very good.
In fact, you got debit.
All right.
He brought
it. All right. I've got a church, and it's got faithful church members, but they're not disciples. Disciples. So here's the question. Does Flint Hill Baptist Church look more like this? More like this. We have to change our culture where every single one of us say, I will be part of discipling others, being in mentor relationships. I will take responsibility of sharing my faith with those around me. I will work on the discipleship process, not only by myself, but with somebody else as well. When we'll do that, we'll be the church he's called us to be. Thank you all very much for being part of my demonstration. Yes. He came back from Des Moines, went to another church. Can't believe it. So how about you? Are you being served or are you serving? Are you sitting at your post or are you making disciples? These two statements of our covenant are two statements that God would have us affirm as church members. He wants us to serve his church. He wants us to serve the world. He wants us to go and make disciples where we live and around the world. This is our mission. We are to be a battleship. It is our prayer that you will get on board, that you will take your place amongst the crew, work with us, labor with us, battle with us, not be a spectator, but be about the Great Commission with us. Let's storm the gates of hell. May we be found faithful to serve his church, serve the world, and be a witness and make disciples. We pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for who you are and what you've done for us. Lord, forgive us when we have viewed church as a cruise ship. Forgive us when we have just laid by the wayside and let other people be about your business. Lord, forgive us for not making disciples. We can have good intent, but if we aren't intentional about personally making disciples in our lives, we've missed the point. May we be found faithful at Flint Hill Baptist Church as we move forward to be a church that looks more like the one on the right-hand side of the stage instead of the left. My right. Lord, may we each ask ourselves, what is my mission? What is my ministry? Who can I disciple? May we be faithful to be obedient. May we be faithful to say, I will serve. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to have a hymn of invitation. Love to pray with you about any matter that you might